Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our podcast, Beyond the Stethoscope, a podcast focused on hospice palliative care. And this morning, I would like to welcome Nancy Good Kennedy, who is the co-founder and a director at the Living Wish Foundation. Welcome, Nancy.
Oh, thank you, Linda, very much for having me. This is such a great opportunity. I really do appreciate the offer. Thank you.
Let's get started, Nancy. And for our visitors, could you give us a brief overview about what your foundation actually does?
So the Living Wish Foundation is a volunteer-driven nonprofit charity. We're based out of South Georgian Bay, and we have a mission to provide final wishes to anyone living with a terminal illness. Acknowledging death has the power to change your life, and it can change it in countless, beautiful, and unexpected ways. So we are on a mission to ensure all dying patients have one last wish.
I do know how the foundation works because you have granted some wishes at my previous organization where I worked. And so could you tell us why or how the foundation was started?
Oh my. So, you know, Linda, life really truly is full of stories. And this really takes me back a number of years ago when I worked very closely in community with my colleague and also co-founder, Lisa. So we worked as community nurses where we met people every day that were in their last days. We actually had a 90-year-old patient that although she knew she was dying, she longed to return to the casino just one more time to pull that bar, right? As desperate as we were to get her there though, logistically, it just couldn't happen. Not without kidnapping her. And way too many company rules and regulations. The nursing agency just was not prepared to approve such actions. And I think that's what sparked or ignited our fire. And one day following our palliative care rounds at the local hospice, we scheduled a meeting with Dr. Boyd, who is also our co-founder and the local palliative care doctors. We asked her for 10 minutes of her time, and we ended up being together for over an hour and ended up really with lots of excitement between the three of us, thinking we could work together. We were going to spread the joy of honoring our dying patients' wishes. And we thought that we could start on Monday on a shoestring budget of about $500. But needless to say, planning takes way more than that. But that was the beginning.
I do remember back in the history then when it was, we knew that you guys were up to something, but it was like a big secret.
It was, wasn't it?
Secret till you got it all organized.
And the day of our announcement was just, it was amazing to all of us that we now, the bubbling that was happening inside was able to actually be shared with so many people. It was a beautiful day for us.
Right. So you, obviously that's how you started and you remain involved. So can you tell us a little bit more about your involvement and how you're involved with the Living Wish Foundation currently?
Sure, absolutely. So I think I did speak to that a little bit, Linda, but my part at the foundation is very clinical in nature. And in all honesty, it really just seemed like a natural fit for me. An extension, I would say, of my everyday work as a palliative nurse consultant through the network. I'm fortunate to have exposure to the dying. I really am. I'm fortunate to have the ability to communicate with the vulnerable. And it's in these moments where really being able to listen, like truly listen, that I think gems are found. Storytelling, I always encourage my patients in their storytelling because when I'm able to respond to those stories, I would say with both love and enthusiasm, it's in those moments that I think their inner desires and strengths and rich conversation, it escapes in the form of a wish. That's the best way I can explain that.
Well, Nancy, you're absolutely the perfect person to be connected to the Living Wish Foundation to help grant wishes. Overall character and personality in the job that you do every day. So thank you for doing that. And how does a person apply for a wish?
So the process couldn't be easier, honestly. We have a Make-A-Wish button. It's housed on the homepage of our website. So thelivingwishfoundation.org. You literally click on that button, follow the prompts, and hit send. So that email is directed right to Lisa, who is our program coordinator. She reviews it on her end, and then it's forwarded on to myself, where I action the item, let's say. So that applicant should really have communication back to them within about 24 hours. Certainly not to say that the wish is happening within 24 hours, but the original contact will be made back to them within 24 hours. And we do have, I would say, stipulations on who actually is eligible for a wish. So that patient must be in their last year of life, and we do require a physician to confirm that that actually is so. And the wish must fall within legalities. So obviously we're not going to honor wishes that would be a request that wasn't legal.
Right. And so can you tell us or give us a few examples of the types of wishes that you've honored?
Oh my goodness. We've had so many and they just keep growing. It's amazing how really a ripple effect happens, but we have, we've rehomed pets for dying people. We've served lamb dinners in the comfort of a gentleman's backyard, topped off with Coronas, which were his favorite. We've hosted celebrations of life while our patients were still alive. That was absolutely amazing. The building was full, standing room only, and the speech from our patient who died shortly thereafter was the most beautiful thing I've been witness to. She was so appreciative, as was her family, who we've had obviously very positive feedback over time. We honored a men's golf and pub dinner just recently, where this gentleman actually had friends that flew from the East Coast, that flew in from the States, and he held a beautiful event in his home with our assistance. We've had chased down a coffee for a lady that was being transferred to hospice. And I had gone in to visit her. She was in hospital, which at hospital, we call this our Tiny Wish program. I had gone in to see her just before the transfer and asked her if there was anything at all that she thought she might need or desire. And she looked at me and she said, "Oh, I would love to have a coffee from a local coffee shop." And she said, "I haven't had that coffee in some time." So immediately that again was an action item, right? And when you think about the ripple effect from that, so she explained that wish to me with the nurse that was visiting. I actioned the item to have a volunteer pick up the coffee, who explained why the coffee was important at the coffee shop. So took pictures. Everyone at the coffee shop heard this story, came back, the nurse delivered the coffee to the patient. The patient took the coffee with her. So the ripple effect affected, I would say, 20 people. And that's really how we expand wishing, because we have our elevator speeches and we have people that are experiencing the wish that are speaking out loud, right? So the wishes just keep rolling in.
Isn't it absolutely what people ask for? We would think that a wish would be big, but in actual fact, it's sometimes just those tiny little things that make them happy at the end of their life, like a coffee.
Often it is, Linda. Yes. Often it is very simple, simple things.
Right. And I remember because of my involvement in my past role, wishes such as taking a lady to the beach for her last day for her feet in the sand. And I think you actually had someone who had a little concert on their farm because he just wanted to play his guitar.
Yes, it was actually was a six-sided mouth organ. Harmonica, right? Yeah. And that was our first ever wish. The community support was phenomenal. Just phenomenal. The donations that helped us make his wish happen, and family that visited, we had CTV visit with us. That really was our launch. That was our launch. And it was a beautiful, beautiful, it was actually called a Gully Fest. There's a family of local musicians, and this gentleman had roots connected to the Gully family. So you're right, Linda, that was a remarkable event, well attended, and that really did launch us.
How do you spread the word or actually get new wishes?
Well, as I always say, we're all storytellers, as I mentioned earlier, in our own way. And I would say we have our forever constant elevator speeches. So there's not many persons that pass by me without hearing something about Living Wish Foundation. So that, along with amazing board of directors, we have a remarkable volunteer pool. And of course, we'd never be where we are today without the relentless support of our local medical community. Family doctors have been amazing. We do receive referrals from them as well. And we involve community nursing. They're aware of our service. We also are open to speaking at any service clubs or community events. So we really do feed our information from many, many different sources.
Right. And people can find you on social media. I know you're the Living Wish Foundation is on Facebook. Is that correct, Nancy?
Yes. Facebook, Instagram, and of course, our website that we promote heavily as well.
Yes, which we talked about this morning. You have a fantastic website. So
it is rich with information.
Mm-hmm. What was the most complicated wish that the foundation has granted so far?
So I don't even know if I would classify this as complicated, but certainly it was a challenge. So there were just so many moving pieces. When we got a request from a bedbound lady, she wanted to visit her father's grave out of town on her way to being admitted to a hospice down in Hamilton. It was more about getting her safely out of the home and into our transfer vehicle. She'd had a very significant decline that morning. It was a wet, rainy, cold November day, but with her experienced volunteer team. And I believe on that wish, we actually had a retired police officer. We had a nurse practitioner and a second nurse in hand that did end up a very safe transfer. And when the ambulance doors opened and she found herself at her dad's graveside, there were just no words to describe. Number one, her appreciation. And again, that ripple effect that was taking place. It was a bit stressful for sure, but certainly a rewarding experience for everyone that was involved. But yes, I would say that was a challenging wish. And being real overly complicated, to be honest with you, they usually run very smooth. And because we have such a, I would say, protective program, we always have a backup plan. Including our local support, community support, including firefighters and police. If we are doing a transfer, then I always inform them and let them know what location we're at and that there could be a possibility that we may require help. They are fabulous to partner with us. We wouldn't be where we are if we didn't have the rich partnerships, right?
Just hearing those stories, Nancy, brings tears to the eyes. You mentioned that you have a transfer vehicle. Could you just tell us a little bit about that and how that works for people's wishes?
Mm-hmm. So we were gifted a retired ambulance through Simcoe County, and it was logoed for us. It's a beautiful vehicle. That, again, was a very emotional day for all of us as we accepted the vehicle. And we do use our vehicle with the help of trained individuals only. We have a transfer team, and it is run by a firefighter himself. Most of our wishes have not required in ambulance transfer. So we do keep up the regular training, and our ambulance attends all of our events because it literally is a traveling billboard. That really is the biggest, I would say, presence that our vehicle has. We have plans for the future. And as you all stay tuned to our website and listen to our events, you'll hear more about our plans for our vehicle as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting. We'll be waiting to hear. So how many wishes have happened to date? And can you sort of give us the time frame, Nancy?
Sure. So we started in 2018. And I would say our business plan, we were hoping to do one wish a month. And now, with our growing demand, we've more than doubled that expectation in the last year, and we're closer to our 50 wish mark. That is amazing, considering other businesses had pretty much been shut down over the year with the pandemic. That wasn't the case for us. It did take us time to revamp our thought and our process, but we managed well through the pandemic. We at least were able to honor our one wish a month. So we're up to the 50 mark, if not there now. We do have actually 5 wishes on the go right now. So that's remarkable for us.
Yeah. How do you keep your foundation afloat? For example, with maybe volunteers, funding, et cetera. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So the fulfillment of wishes results really from monies raised, because we are a volunteer organization. We do local fundraising. We actually welcome third-party fundraisers as well. We've even had a bottle drive. But our biggest fundraiser, which just finished up in September, was Feast in the Forest, thanks to our local Dr. Karen Euler, whose property hosts this event. We have 10 chefs that cook in the forest. We have 7 stations, 7 drink stations. There's music throughout the forest. There are games throughout the forest. And then at the end of your path through the forest, where you've been able to try the food and the drinks, there's usually a ending event. So this year we had a little band there and some trampoline work from a local team. That's our biggest fundraiser. We also we've applied for grants, and we were gifted through the hospital, through the Collingwood Hospital. That's where our original seed grant came from. And they really, again, got us off the ground. Then we also applied for a grant through the Resilient Communities. That was the Ontario Trillium Foundation. And they were a huge help on the administrative side. So again, I'd just like to reiterate that we are a volunteer program, and we are open to anyone that is interested in third-party fundraising, anyone that would like just to even make random donations. That's easily done through our website. And we do have another event coming up that I think we'll talk about as the time goes on, Linda.
Yes. And so, Nancy, what is the plan for growth for the foundation? Obviously, you've been running since 2018 and your wishes are increasing. What is the plan for actual growth?
Our plan for growth is housed within our directors, and the board really does believe that we can successfully grow the organization, extending our reach out into other communities, which we have done, because we do cover Simcoe County, not just South Georgian Bay. So reaching out to more individuals and more communities, and that they will then benefit from a final wish too. So I think sometimes it's harder to hold the reins back and grow slow, as we are all really super enthusiastic and passionate about the work. So we are a national status as well. So really and truly, the world is our oyster.
My understanding is that most foundations root themselves in a mission, vision, and values. I actually like to call this a dream. What does this dream look like at the Living Wish Foundation? What's your dream?
I love that, Linda, because it is truly is a dream. It truly is. So, and we are really lucky. So as our groups all work really well together, I would say that we maintain that mission of providing medically supervised and supported end of life wishes. But truly our vision is a world where everyone will experience the joy of one last wish. And I think too, by holding our, I would say our passion, certainly our integrity, and our sensitivity too, I'm going to say, that honoring our patients and families, we can't go wrong. I only see that as true forming growth.
So just as a bit of an aside, Nancy, while you're talking about integrity of the foundation and so on, you mentioned that you're a co-founder with Dr. Boyd. Could you just maybe tell me a little bit about some of the other members of the team of the foundation?
Sure. So there's myself, there is obviously Dr. Boyd, who's the local palliative physician, and Lisa Wright is the other co-founder. Lisa is a registered nurse as well, and our board of directors, rich again with much experience in community. We have a physician on our board, we have a lawyer on our board, we have admin from the hospital that sits on the board. We have another nurse on the board. So we're well provided, especially on the medical side. We're well supported.
Mm-hmm. So like you mentioned, it does sound very rich. If there was anything that you had to say about the working group, about its strengths and weaknesses, what would you say?
Oh, Linda, well,
sounds like it's very strong on the medical side.
It is very strong on the medical side. I must say that. I would say that we're blessed again with all the support that's around us. I can't repeat that often enough. The passion of Dr. Boyd, Lisa, and myself as the founders, I think, is boundless. We have a very engaged board, as I just spoke to, who network really well in the community for us. We have an increased demand for wishes. I think that's certainly a strength. We do have strong partnerships with the Collingwood Hospital, with Hospice George and Triangle, Linda, to which you actually experienced. Also, we have a strong connection, I would say, with the George and Bay Family Health Team. And we acknowledge and that the commitment from the physician group and the caring and dedicated volunteers, as mentioned earlier, like what more could we ask for, in all honesty?
And do you have any outstanding needs at present that you would like to share that the public should be aware of?
Well, we do have a wish list at the Living Wish Foundation. So we're always looking for corporate sponsors. And we'd love a corporate sponsor for any of our events. We also are in need of an office space in the Collingwood area. And I think as time moves forward, we're more and more in need of a central housing spot to call our own. We're definitely open to options, but those are needs that we have at present. Thank you for asking, Linda. It's good to be able to put that out there.
Right. So currently, do you just meet on Zoom, Nancy, because you don't have any office space, or do you meet at someone's home, or how do you do that? How do you have your meetings?
No, we do meet over Zoom. We do meet over Zoom. It is all virtual. And that actually began with the pandemic. Prior to that, Hospice George and Triangle was wonderful, and they have their back room.
Yes, so it would be fantastic if you could actually find an office space where you could fundraise from and people could come to visit.
Oh, and to be visible to the public would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. So if someone wanted to become involved with the Living Wish Foundation, how would they go about doing that?
I automatically direct people to our website. So thelivingwishfoundation.org. It's a repository of rich information and details. And I know that you did mention that earlier, Linda, and thank you for that again. You can actually apply to be a volunteer or ask questions right from that site. And we have, like I said earlier, a 24-hour turnaround. So we welcome anyone that has questions. Please, please do reach out to us. And we do accept volunteers. Right now, we have a heavy medical volunteer pool. We are looking for a volunteer to help actually with HR type of work. So if there's someone that's interested in that, onboarding volunteers, that's a very big job.
So Nancy, could you tell me if you actually grant requests outside of the Collingwood area, or is there a certain area that you only grant wishes for?
No, we do grant wishes outside the Collingwood area, certainly. Right now we are covering Simcoe County. We originally started in South Georgian Bay and are branching out as the word gets out. So I'm happy to answer that question. I think it's important for people to know that no matter where you are, we are open to your application. We are open to that application.
And how many people would be in your volunteer pool, and do you have to have special training to actually be a volunteer for the foundation?
I'm not exactly sure how many people are in the volunteer pool, simply because that's not my expertise or my area. However, I do know that we have closed our volunteer application on the medical side just because we have so many volunteers. And yes, we have a vigorous training program, and it is actually run through HR Downloads, and all your volunteer hours and the work that's required for hands-on training, that is a separate piece from obviously anything that you're doing online, and it's actually completed by the gentleman that is looking after the transfer vehicle. So it's a very rigorous, actually, training, and it can be very tiring, but people that come to us tend to already have that expectation, I think, in mind. They don't seem to be at all bothered by the intensity of it, so.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned COVID and how the organization has met through COVID. Did you see that COVID actually affected the way that you granted your wishes?
Oh, yes, certainly. Absolutely, it did. So one wish in particular, which was a lady that really wanted to go back to her cottage one last time. That was difficult. And it was difficult because she was in hospital. So in order for transfer to be able to be made at that time, you had to isolate here and isolate there. So the only persons that could be involved in that wish were persons that were exposed to that patient. So we were involving community nursing. That was difficult. But public health guidelines have been pretty much our Bible. So by following the public health guidelines and ensuring that we always had appropriate and proper PPE, we did manage through. And we learned to work virtually, as did all programs. And an example of that would be a patient that was in hospital who, again, COVID, had no visitors, would have died alone, but due to our ability to visit with an actual mobile device, so a tablet, one of our volunteer physicians was able to connect that dying patient with her family on the west coast of Canada. So did we manage through COVID? Yes, we certainly managed through COVID.
I'm just thinking of how incredible these stories are and how amazing it is that everyone comes together when someone is dying just to grant one small wish in a fashion that is so compassionate and empathetic. So when someone makes an individual donation, obviously we're aware that wishes are granted, but is there something behind the scenes that the funds also provide provide for?
Absolutely, absolutely. So when we do receive donations, we like to tell our donors what those funds are able to support. So we have a legacy program, and we have books that cost us about $50. It's a leather-bound book that stays with the person that's having the legacy work done. So a $50 donation would cover that book. If someone were to make a $100 donation, that normally would cover the price of gas for one wish, depending, of course, now that our gas prices are a little higher, perhaps. It doesn't completely cover it, but that is our intention. $200 would cover a nurse on a wish. And I would say $300 would probably cover two drivers. So it's always good for people to know where their donations, how their donations are being utilized. That gives you an idea of exactly what's happening within the foundation as well.
So Nancy, you mentioned previously about some fundraising events that are in the works. Can you tell us a little bit more about those? I do hear some buzz about a Christmas market coming up.
So this is super exciting. We do have a Christmas market coming up on November 13th in Collingwood on another one of our physicians' farms. And at that market, there will be 50 vendors. There will be roasted chestnuts and mulled wine and carolers, music scattered throughout the farm. It will be completely lit with Christmas lights, and $20 entry fee includes all of this. There will be Christmas trees that have been donated by Somerville Nursery and decorated by different businesses to be auctioned off. Food trucks present, s'mores for the children, bonfires. I think it's a great way to kick off your Christmas shopping. We'd love to have people come out.
I'm getting excited.
It's a completely outdoor event. It opens at 4 o'clock and will close at 8 o'clock. And I think we're well underway to put on one of the best markets in the area.
That sounds like so much fun. Is there any other events coming up in the near future, Nancy, or is that your major one?
Oh, yes, it would not be winter in Ontario without celebrating our sport of choice. You know, this year has been a little rough for us as a member of our board died unexpectedly. Cal Patterson was a top-notch supporter and director of the Living Wish Foundation. In fact, it was Cal that secured the donation of her patient transfer vehicle. He also, along with Dr. Boyd, has been very active in the planning of our first ever Women Over 30 hockey tournament. I think I can certainly speak for all involved with the Living Wish Foundation when I say we're forever grateful to Cal Patterson. So on Friday, April 1st through Saturday, April 2nd, we welcome everyone to come and catch 6 competitive and 6 recreational teams going stick to stick at the Central Park Arena in Collingwood. You can certainly get all the details, including volunteer opportunities, as well as purchase your tickets by visiting our website at www.thelivingwishfoundation.org. Mm-hmm.
So our time together today is coming to a close. I want to say that on behalf of the community that I think the Living Wish Foundation is an absolutely wonderful organization to help people have their last wishes in their last moments and days. So thank you to you and your board. And is there anything that you'd like to say before we close?
Well, you know, Linda, I really do think that we've come a long way with palliative and end-of-life care. I think discussions about death are more and more open. And I believe that by granting a last wish to a terminally ill patient can be the most powerful tool, really, that our healthcare team has. I think by providing joy to the patient, it makes one last memorable experience for the family. And I also believe that it does sustain them in their grief. And I think just by acknowledging death, it is life-changing for people. So I'm so happy to be part of the foundation, and I welcome any inquiries at all. So thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you so much, Nancy.